Welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And we're on Food for Thought, but I have a few topics that are a little bit off food that I wanted to start with.
Does it have to do with our president?
No.
I'm just every day shocked and surprised with our leadership in the country.
And are you more shocked and surprised about the devout followers who refuse to see any problem with his behavior?
I guess I'm kind of over that. I guess everybody believes what they want to believe, and they have every right to believe what they want to believe. As you know, I've had personal interactions with the man, and I think he's a jackass and a liar. But that's besides the point. You know, just this morning, the reports about the past four heads of the CDC saying, you know, the way that the one thing that we could have done in the country is really just had better leadership. You know, this is four former members of the biggest disease control organization in the world saying that, look, we had all the information and the information was being put out, and just having the president.
If we all started wearing masks, you know, second week in March,
yeah,
and it was a nationwide mandate, then, you know, or put it into law, or, you know, something at least that you can fine people for refusing to use them. People are still, refusing to wear masks.
And the president is not helping in that he goes on every day and says, you know, his expert, who was a crackpot doctor that believes in voodoo, literally believes in voodoo. Anyway, sorry, I went off on a little tangent. Just I watched the news 2 minutes ago, and it's just like shocking.
I wanted to talk about an art discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So, and actually, ironically, it is food related, because, and I'll tell you as I get into it. So, one of the things that I've always sort of been, let's say, fantasized about. When people say, we were talking before the show, what would you do if you had a lot of money?
Uh-huh.
And I think if I had a lot of money, like lots and lots, and didn't have to, you know, like could have whatever I wanted, you know, sure, I might get a better car. Sure, I might like try to buy a shore house. But I think my basic needs are, you know, I want to be able to buy the kombucha that's $8 a pop. And
right.
Not stress about it. And I want to be able to buy shrimp once a week, you know,
right.
Not every day, but get a 2-pound bag like once a week, and occasionally get the good cheese, but don't get the good cheese every day, because if you get
right.
the good cheese every day, then you don't appreciate it. You're like, oh, good cheese again, you know?
Exactly. So,
you know, I'm realizing that it's really the simple pleasures that make mm-hmm. me happy. And it doesn't even have to be going to a fancy restaurant. It could just be, wow, we can pick up sushi anytime we feel like it, you know, that kind
right.
of thing. So anyway,
I think having more time to enjoy things, you know.
Yeah, and the other
we're
thing
also busy doing different things.
The other thing that I have fantasized about, and that is having original artwork, like mm-hmm. when I think about, people are asking me, you know, what colors are you going to paint the walls of your new place? And it's like, you don't understand, like, because my wish, I have to have neutral walls. I'm not going to go with pure white, but they're going to be very neutral, because I would love to have pieces of art that pop. And
I like pure white, because you have pieces of art that pop.
Yeah.
Like, but my kitchen is pure white. Cabinets are white. Walls are white.
Yeah, I'm going with like a muslin color, but
nice.
But anyway, I discovered this website, which maybe everybody and their brother knew about before me, but I didn't know they existed.
Uh-huh.
I found this website because I've been searching for framed prints or pieces of art, because we just bought a place and I finally feel like I, you know, can spend a little money on putting some artwork up.
Right.
And I've been perusing these like really kind of bogus art sites that give, I mean, the MoMA has a mm-hmm. site that sells artwork. I find it to be, they're good quality prints and stuff. And, but I find them to be really overpriced. Uh-huh. But I stumbled across a site called Singulart, Singulart. And it's basically like an art house brokerage, and they feature thousands of artists all over the world. But they are, from what I can tell, the real deal. Like, nice. I'm perusing these artworks and I'm like, wow, this looks like good stuff. Yeah. And you can tell, you know, you can just tell when something, I mean, you can go to, you know, one of those little shops in Lambertville, and sorry, but half the time when you go to these little funky galleries, it's really bad art. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bad art.
Well, but it's also subjective. I mean, you know.
It is subjective, but this site, you actually have to go through, you have to apply, and you have to submit your bio, and you submit your work. And if they approve you, they feature your artwork. And I actually found, I have two pieces of art that a friend of mine painted, Alan Tabak, and I bought one, like, I don't know, 25 years ago. And then they gave me one. So when they featured this piece in a when I had my restaurant, and then when my restaurant went under, I said, Alan, I got to mail this thing back to you. And he said, no, Louise and I decided after everything you've been through, we'd like you to keep it. So it was, you know, that's always going to be precious to me.
Right.
So I found Alan when I did a search on this art site. So I'm super excited. Now I can't afford it because these are real art means real prices.
Right.
And the pricing is anywhere from 1,000 to 20,000, you know, depending on the artist and how big it is and how well known they are or whatever. But because I have art on the brain, I called my ex-boyfriend of a million years ago, who is an abstract painter.
Tim.
And he also happens to be blind.
Yep.
Painter. And so what he's done,
right?
Him, yeah. Yep. And you should look him up. It's timleffens.com, LEFENS. But because he's blind now, he does mostly texture. So he decided, even though I've been trying to get a painting from him, I do have one painting of his that he gave to me like 40 years ago. It's called Summer Thunder. I have to have it restretched. But I've been trying to get him to give me a painting since then, and he just won't, because he's like, you know, my art is worth something. I'm not going to like just give it away. Right. So he must be he's reading a book now about like, I don't know, it's kind of Buddhist type, you know, uplifting. And he said, I'm in the mood. I'm going to give you a painting. So I'm like, what? You know, he just, the last couple that he sold for like $8,000 each. So, And if you look at his work online, you'll see that he is the real deal. And when you look at you look at his bio and forget about it, you realize he really is the real deal. And I remember when we were first dating, abstract art was all he did. And then I came to his house one day and there were four drawings, big, like 18 by 18. In his living room of him and his brothers and sisters. And they were unbelievable. And I said, wow, you really do know how to draw. And he was like, yeah, well, this is, you know, this is realistic work. They turn their noses up at realistic work. They are just, you know, the abstract painters think abstract sort of that. So my painting, I'm going to call it, because it's made of it, spaghetti.
And is it made of spaghetti?
It's made of spaghetti.
I can't wait to see it.
And it's built up and it's supposed to be pretty big. And I actually get to choose the color.
Ah, beautiful.
Because right now it's spaghetti and gel.
Yeah. So
imagine a bunch of thick gel that's spaghetti. And who knows what it looks like. I have no idea. But I'm going to find out today.
Very cool.
So yeah, I'm going to have an original Leffens in my entryway.
Beautiful.
I might just call it spaghetti, you know? But I thought how great.
If the name fits.
But you have to check out Singulart because you'll see what I mean.
I've actually heard of it before.
Have you?
Yeah, I think one of my nieces has purchased pieces from there. Yeah, I remember scrolling through and looking through. It's wonderful. I mean, you think about how artists, you know, we at the restaurant have different artists come in every 2 months. And, you know, they get their art out there however they can. That's a benefit that they have these websites. All of the artists that are hanging in Chambers Walk, we have a roster of about a dozen that we switch on and off. And there's always new artists coming in and wanting to get on the schedule. But our schedule is usually booked out at least a year because the artist's work hangs for 2 months. So we only have time for six, you know, I only have room for six artists every year.
Do they sell?
Yeah. Especially towards the ends of the year, like around the holidays. Absolutely. And dependent on what they're, you know, we sometimes have photographers. We have people that just specifically do oil work. We have people that specifically do sketches or photography, or, you know, it depends on what their medium is. But if it's specifically the photographers where they can then reproduce items smaller, because the pieces that are on the wall are sometimes very large. I mean, if we have people up on our deck in the front of the restaurant, you know, they might have a piece that's 5 feet by 8 feet. You know, it's a big space up there. But then they do reproductions and they have them available on the bar, you know, at smaller sizes, 5 by 7s, 8 by 10, you know, standard sizes for photographs that can be mounted or matted and framed. A lot of them do really well. It always shocks me how, you know, as I said earlier, things are so subjective. I always look at the artist's work and sort of get a feel for it and see if it's something that I think will work in the space, because I feel like it needs to really fit the space of the restaurant. And I know what our clientele is. I once early on in the process, when we first opened, I had I considered myself an amateur photographer, and I have a lot of my own photographs that were just basically Ansel Adams looking black and white. And I went to IKEA and I got all the same 20 by 20, you know, beautiful black frames, and had all of my photographs all over the restaurant. So there's probably about 30, 24 pieces. Mm-hmm. And it used to be so funny because people would say, oh my gosh, you know, how did you take this? What aperture? And like all about my, you know, all about the settings on my super duper snazzy camera. And half the time they were disposable cameras. Like I just took them when I was on vacation. For a while it was like I kept taking pictures of waterfalls. Like everywhere I went, I was traveling around looking for waterfalls. But it was so funny because they would think they were, you know, nice photographs where they were just like Kodak, you know.
Yeah, some people have that touch. I know a woman who, she's like a Facebook friend, and every photo she shares is like amazing. And it's not, and she's not putting any filters on it. You know, it's just her iPhone.
It's her eye. Yeah,
it's her eye. Now I think, you know, and then professional photographers, they have a combination of eye plus skill, which enhances the eye stuff. But
back when we first started signing up artists, we had a gentleman come in, and I had checked out his work online and said, you know, it's real, a lot of landscapes, things that, you know, I don't want to do anything too controversial. People are dining and people have sometimes strong feelings about the artwork, you know. I don't want any demonic looking things. Or he showed me the artwork that he was going to be hanging. And when it came time to hang, the day that we were hanging his work, he said, oh, you know, I got another show somewhere else, so I'm not really giving you the pieces that we spoke about. I have a different series that I'm putting up. And while beautiful, they were all pretty graphic nudes.
Okay.
And I was like, I just don't think this is going to work. You know, so he was able to get a couple of more pieces and take out the really controversial ones, Right. You know, I like to think I'm open-minded, but, you know, a picture of a vagina over your shoulder while you're, you know, having your Caesar salad is not
right. And you're
really
in
appropriate.
You're in Lawrenceville, not Lower East Side.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to know your audience.
Yeah. Feel the room, dude. Feel the room.
Now, we are, I haven't, you were saying you haven't done a lot of cooking, right?
Right.
I'll just share real quick. It's boring as hell. We're running out of time in first segment.
We
will be talking more about food. Flavored seltzers, goat milk products, and food books are three topics I want to talk about. But I made chicken piccata last night. Uh-huh. Now, you know, I always use thighs. I use boneless, boneless and skinless thighs. I don't bother pounding them. I just let them be what they're going to be. Dredge it in flour, salt, pepper, and dried basil. Sauteed it in olive oil, took them out of the pan, put in the garlic, put in white wine, let it reduce, chicken stock, let it reduce, and then finished it off with lemon juice and capers. And I've also realized, don't make your piccata so lemony that it's like, you know, really, I think I've been using way too much lemon. Yeah. Anyway, then you put the chicken back in and you let it all simmer up and get thick. Or at least thickened. And I have to say, it was like a really good batch. You know, you ever like get one of those good batches and you're like, this is like better.
This is delicious. Yeah. And it's amazing to me sometimes, you know, the simplest things can be so luscious.
Yeah. Oh, I love simple. And so I served it with the roasted eggplant Parmesan, you know, my healthy eggplant Parmesan.
Yeah.
So it was very,
That sounds great.
But I haven't been doing tons of cooking. So when we come back, I wanted to talk about flavored seltzers as they are taking over the planet.
They are taking over the planet.
Goat's milk products and also food books. I want to pick your brain on food books.
All right.
We'll
be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back. Flavored seltzers are completely taking over the world.
Aren't they?
Not only the bubblies and not only just the flavored seltzers, but now the alcoholic flavored seltzers.
Oh,
the White Claw,
which I'm not.
And the,
I'm not interested in those.
No, it's just amazing how in the last, I would say, year, right?
Yes.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Like, I'm holding a bottle right now of ShopRite. Well, ShopRite is now rebranded. It's called Bowl and Basket.
Yeah.
That's their brand now. It's flavored with ginger, which I was so excited. I almost, there was actually an opportunity to buy a case of it. But I thought, I'm just going to try it first. Cause what if, you know, I love ginger, but what if I don't like this?
Right.
So I'm trying it and I'll take a sip right now. I don't detect any friggin' ginger in this at all.
Oh, really? I don't, you know what? I'm not a seltzer fan. I don't like bubbles.
You don't?
I don't. I do if it's in a drink, like if I'm mixing alcohol with it, I don't mind a bubble. Like I'll have a rum and tonic or a rum and club soda but no, I'm not a huge bubble fan.
Oh, I'm like addicted to bubbles. But I was also, and then I'm still in the process of researching this, and there are some conflicting articles on this, but I'm wondering about all the flavorings that are added to these seltzers to get them to taste like, you know, anywhere from blueberries to watermelon to coconut to ginger.
So the company that makes a lot of those flavors is right up the street from us.
Oh.
And the gentleman, the whole company comes in.
Is it Firmenich?
Sorry?
Is it Firmenich?
Firmenich? No.
Firmenich?
Although Firmenich does do a lot of flavors and fragrances, but there's a company right up the street from us and they have a house account. They have had a house account with us for many years. It's called ITI Tropicals. And they basically have plantations all over the world with fruit and they sell the extracts. So they're the ones selling the extracts to all of these.
So it comes, so it's quite possible because on the ShopRite bottle, for example, and of course my glasses aren't strong enough, so I can't really read it, but it was something to the effect of natural flavorings.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me that maybe that there are these natural fruit extractions, et cetera, that are literally coming from the original plant, fruit,
yes,
whatever it is, vegetable, yeah, whatever it is, then we should be okay with these flavored sodas,
With the flavors, absolutely. Yeah, if it says natural flavoring, it's absolutely, it's an essence or an extract. You know, there's different... there's different names depending on what percentage of fruit product is in it and depending on the percentage of the concentration of that flavor or nectar or extract or essence. You know, there's all the terminology just determines how much fruit is in that item.
Right.
But yeah, if it says natural flavoring, it's natural flavoring.
Okay, then I'm just going to drink up.
But you said this one's not great. It doesn't taste like ginger?
There's just not enough. You know, usually I can really detect, you know, if I get a kiwi lime or a cranberry pomegranate, you know, it's the flavoring is significant enough. And there's no sugar. It's just that essence, which I like. But this one, I wish it just had more. You know, I guess I could take a stick of ginger and throw it in there. But now, you want to talk about books?
Sure.
So I have, this is not a food book, but I do have a book recommendation and it comes from a friend who tends to really know, like, especially with me, what I'm going to like.
Right.
And have you heard of The Wild Swans?
Yes.
Yeah.
I listened to it about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you audiobooked it?
Yeah, I audiobook. I have an account with Audible, and I listen to, literally, Mario and I were just talking about it. I pretty much listen to at least one book every 2 days, sometimes one book a day.
So, and where do you get your, so is The Wild Swans, is that like a New York Times bestseller?
It was a New York Times pick, so I get picks from the New York Times book review, and I also... I just happen to like her as an artist, and I think she has really good taste in books. I'm a member of the Reese Witherspoon Book Club.
Okay, except Reese Witherspoon said that Untamed was amazing. Did you read Untamed?
I did.
I thought it was the worst piece of shiitake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And only because...
I didn't hate it. I don't hate anything.
All right. I mean,
I thought it was. I liked it actually.
It was just too much about her.
So she just, I just finished, yesterday I finished one called The Jet Setters, which was kind of cute. The day before I listened to a book called The Henna Artist about this woman in India. It was really, really good. I bop back and forth between the New York Times Book Review and, you know, just what I see is out there for a quick read. And I love listening to books because I can, you know, it doesn't stop me from moving. It doesn't stop me from doing things. I can be cooking. I can be sewing. I can be on my bicycle. You know, I can be doing other things.
Except I do find the auditory experience, and I do both. I think what I love about audiobooks exactly is that you can do something else. So for me, when I'm painting, for example, I'm painting an interior of a house and I really kind of need my mind to be taken off of the really tedious work that I'm doing for hours at a time. But there's something about, you know, just like lying on your couch in the afternoon and reading.
That's what I've been doing, lying on my couch in the afternoon and listening.
But I do like the
tactile the
sometimes. And I'm just finishing up, which I'm really glad I gave it a second chance, but I'm just finishing up Where the Crawdads Sing.
Mario just finished it also.
Yeah. So, and the next one I've got is...
have you read Jeanette Nightingale?
What's that?
Nightingale?
No, but I'm writing this down.
It's really good. Oh, I could give you a whole list.
Okay. I mean, I've got a couple more to go, but...
Definitely put The Hannah Artist on your list.
I just wrote it down. What about... Hidden Valley Road?
Don't know that one.
I might be saying the wrong title. It's the it was Oprah's recommendation. The guy had 12 siblings and half of them had schizophrenia.
Don't know it.
Oh, you're going to want to read this one.
Okay.
I think it's called, and you know, I'll look it up on the break. I think it's called Hidden Valley Road. But apparently my neighbor's reading it right now on audio. Uh-huh. And she says that and she's a psychiatrist, so of course she couldn't wait to read this one.
Right.
And she said that each sort of case of schizophrenia, after they go through the sort of drama and the chapter about, you know, what happened, and then they sort of do this sort of little anecdotal analysis of this particular case of, I don't know, it sounds really intriguing to me. But,
well, it sounds interesting to me as well. So I had to check
now
it out.
In terms of food books, now you know one of the most influential food books that I've ever read was Blood, Bones, and Butter by Gabrielle Hamilton. Yeah. But I was just perusing, and I'm just gonna switch screens with you for a second here. You know, what's the food book that you would say you gotta read it? If you're into food, you've gotta read this book that maybe not everybody knows about.
It would probably be something by Jacques Pepin or Marcella Hazan. You know, just real basic, you know, cooking 101 techniques.
So you're saying, like, I'm thinking about things like, oh gosh, like more of fantasy type books or like Water for Chocolate or,
I mean,
you know what I mean? Not specifically about, I mean, there's books like Kitchen Confidential. There's books like Blood, Bones, and Butter.
Right.
But then I know there's got to be, and I just can't think of what they are. Remember the one that was about...
I mean, we'd have to go back to Babette's Feast, right?
Right.
That's sort of a feeling when you're reading.
Right. Well, here's one... did you read Yes, Chef?
No.
By Marcus Samuelson.
No.
He's a chef. I can't remember where he's from. Is either Africa?
No, he's
like that.
Indian. He's Indian.
Indian, yeah.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it. It didn't blow my mind, but it was it was decent. There's Feast. Signature dishes that Julia which I never met. I never read. I just watched the movie.
It was good. It was pretty much the movie. The Omnivore's Dilemma was, I think, interesting reading, although it could possibly turn some people, you know, it could turn some people off.
Have you ever read Toast?
No.
Hungry. There's another title. I guess I'm just going to have to really, I wouldn't mind reading a book by Jacques Pepin that maybe wasn't just all about recipes and more like about his life. Is there anything?
Well, there is. There are.
There are books out there.
He and Julia have written many books. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I find that a lot of the books that I read are nonfiction. You know, just
nonfiction is your go-to?
Nonfiction is my go-to.
Okay. Anyway, The Wild Swan. So you've already read it?
Yes.
Okay. You think I'll like it?
Did you start it?
No.
Okay.
No, I've still got, what is the Jeanette Walls book I just got? Half Pro Courses.
Uh-huh.
So that one's from years ago. I just missed it. So I'll be reading that. But anyway, those are all the titles I got. But so goat's milk products.
Oof, not a fan.
You're not?
It's, you know what? I will eat anything and pride myself on the fact that I do pretty much eat everything. And I will eat goat cheeses and goat milk products, but I'm not really a fan.
No?
Like, no. I'm not.
Okay.
I don't like the mustiness. You know, that
mustiness, or
mustiness
tangy
of a chèvre that people love. I'm not a fan.
No.
No.
I just wish that I could get, sometimes I wish that I could get products like goat's milk mozzarella or goat's milk ricotta.
I'm sure you can.
But I don't know where. Have you ever seen it?
No, but I haven't really looked for it because I don't like it. But
okay.
I'm sure you'd be able to find it. Like Whole Foods, Wegmans, there's like every product under the sun.
I will search the internet. But I've not been able to find it at any local grocery near me. So that doesn't mean it's not available. I have not been to a Whole Foods to look. I have not been to, I don't think a specialty like an Italian market would necessarily feature any of these goat's milk products.
Murray's doesn't have anything? You never
I don't know. I didn't Murray's? Check with Murray's. I didn't check with Murray's. Oh. Anyway. So
like maybe Bon Appetit in Princeton. They have a lovely selection.
Yep. I should check it out while I'm local to Princeton right now. But what else?
We were kind of running out of time. You're moving soon, right? When are you moving?
Yes. It's
exciting.
We don't have a close date yet, but okay. We just sent the inspection report to the attorneys. And
are you a nanny?
I am not a nanny yet. I thought I had an offer, and I accepted it via text, and then she changed her mind and she decided to go with her parents doing it instead of me.
Oh well, hello.
So I'm still looking for that.
Let's see, pay someone or don't pay someone, which one do you want to do?
I know, it's like I need to find a family that this is not going to be a hardship for, and who I'm going to be able to, for $20 an hour, make a difference in their lives, not only with their kids, but also to be able to have a nice, not just any old dinner, but a nice dinner.
Right. Make a difference in their diet.
Really make a difference in their lives, and I don't want people who are going to stress about the money. So It's fine that I didn't get it. And I do have, I have an interview tonight, and I have three more interviews, potential interviews in the hopper. So I'm just trying not to worry.
Right.
Just trying not to worry. But when we come back, I do have a food topic, but it's going to be a surprise.
Oh, I can't wait. All right. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
We're back. I just showed you that because I'm a little slightly distracted. We, the hurricane that went through the other day took down a giant tree. We were without power for 6 hours on Tuesday and a little over 6 hours yesterday while they were working on stuff. I guess they got it temporarily set up, but now they were really doing the work. And our internet and television is still not working. So I'm at work right now, Zooming, and I'm sitting in the catering sales office, and that screen I just showed you is our catering director, Kristen, working from home. So if you can see how bright it just got in here, her monitor just like lit up, and she's like, I'm literally watching her bounce from writing emails to looking at schedules and calendars.
Oh, wow. So you get to sort of monitor.
Slightly distracting.
But so you get to see what she's doing.
Yeah. I mean, I literally could sit here and watch her all day if I wanted to. It's starting to get, you know, people are starting to open up. People are starting to get back to catering in the home, whether it's just us dropping items off or they're having catered events in the backyard. We actually had a wedding this past weekend, a small wedding with 30 people. Everyone was social distancing. There were masks being used. We were very specific about how we were using service wear.
Now, were the guests wearing masks too?
The guests were, for the most part, wearing masks. They had family groups at each small table.
Right.
So they were like quarantine, you know, compadres at each little table. And it was a lovely day.
So I wonder how we would do that. Like, you know, Don and I, we were supposed to get married either the spring or the fall of this year. And it's just, you know, it's not happening now because we just can't imagine. You know, we have a lot of friends who are our age and we have friends who are under, you know, either recently went through chemo and things where they really can't take any chances. Right. But I guess if you were to have, like, I've even thought if you were to have like 72-inch round tables in which maybe there's six people sitting at, okay, a 72-inch round is typically good for up to 12 people, right?
Right. Right.
So if you had six people, but then the couples would, you know, obviously they're quarantining together.
They can be
so the
together.
Couples would sit close to each other and put a few feet between the next couple and the next couple.
That is would work. And they were doing that at this. There were some tables of like singles where they were not quarantine mates and they were large 8-foot banquet tables.
Okay.
And they're only like, you know, six people at a banquet table that normally you could seat 10 at.
Right.
But still, I mean, this was all close family members. A lot of them had been quarantining together. There was one group that was like, you know, 10 people, which is a third of the people attending that were all together. But then, you know, mingling.
Yeah, I know. It's, and especially when I just.
And then after somebody's had a couple of drinks, like this is when you see what's happening in Florida and what was happening in Texas. And unfortunately, what recently happened in New York, where people are having parties. And after you have a couple of drinks, you know, that distance changes and you get a little looser and you're now dancing and chatting and touching.
Yeah,
and it's
also the fact that one of the recent news stories talked about, it was a school in, I think it was Arizona, but it was in a very poor section of Arizona. And the school district was like, you know, this guy, the superintendent, feels like he has a gun to his head because on the one hand, they're going to lose funding if they don't open. But on the other hand, what the hell are they going to do if they open? They actually, over the summer, had three teachers that agreed to come in to do coursework, you know. And what they did was they shared a classroom, but they took the strictest measures. They wore masks at all times. Mm-hmm. Of course, washed hands. One of the teachers got it anyway and died. So
it's
you know, even when you think you're being careful, you can get it. I also read something recently that's maybe as recently as this morning that wearing a mask can also actually lessen the severity of disease. So if you did have, you know, certain particles get through that mask and actually contract the disease, it's quite possible that you'll get it a lot less because it wasn't in mass quantity that these aerosolized particles got.
You know, the other thing is I've been wearing my glasses a lot more when I go out, although they're just readers. They're not really prescription glasses. But you forget that, you know, this can get into your system through your eyes.
Yeah.
So unless you have a face shield on, if you just have your mask on, your eyes are exposed.
Yeah, I don't laugh at people anymore when I see the face shield. I used to think, oh, that's a bit much, but I don't really judge anymore. You know, it's like, all right, knock yourself out. I'm not there yet, but, you know, might be.
I've seen people with goggles on.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So anyway, back to catering.
Back to food.
Food. So you're saying, I do see people. I've actually got two things on the books, and I was thinking, depending on what nanny job I get, I might have to turn them over to Chambers Walk if you'll do them for
Absolutely.
What I've quoted. But the one is for it's a shower, a bridal shower, a co-ed bridal shower that's going to be like roughly 35 people. Uh-huh. So I don't think I would feel comfortable as a guest there. I'm preparing the food. So yes, I'm going to be wearing a mask, possibly a face shield at this one, because I don't know these people. And I'm going to try to stay away from the guests as much as I can.
Yeah, the only thing which I think is the biggest red flag is when you're now, you know, as we're now trying to get together while observing social distancing, you know, the thing that I don't think a lot of people really think about is if you're setting up a buffet for people, and granted, people are going to keep their distance, right? The serving utensil.
Right.
Everybody should be using their own serving utensil.
Well,
using the fork or knife or spoon that they are going to be using, you know, is there solely for themselves.
Well,
I mean, handling.
to rectify that, I think you can have, you know, like lots of buffets I will do by serving people myself.
Yes, of course. And that's what we did at this wedding. That's what we do. We have a server is serving, and that's it.
And you sanitize the tools in your hands before you use them, and then you just have one or two people handling the serving pieces.
I know how it's taken care of. I'm just saying, going forward, I don't think a lot of people think about that.
No, they don't.
Saying, okay, my tables are separate, everybody's got masks, but meanwhile, what about the water the handle on the water pitcher? What about the stack of cups?
I think if you're not in the food business, I mean, the first thing when this whole thing went down is like all the salad bars were shut down because just for that reason, you know, you can't be handling tools with a bunch of people. But so I'm kind of surprised that I'm even doing these events. But, you know, I feel like I can't hide forever. And I'm going to take reasonable precaution when I work them. And I'm not a guest. You know, I'm not sure I would be a guest at one of these things.
So we have not been doing anything. No.
No. Yeah.
No. We've been avoiding everything, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned earlier, Kristen is working on her computer and remotely, and I can see it flipping by. Right now she's looking at Earth, Wind, Fire, and Water menu related items.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
So that's somebody asked her. Somebody's having a wedding and they're
someone's having a
going cuckoo
not
with
necessarily a wedding, just a party of some sort. And their theme are the earth, elements, five elements of earth.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry, five elements of nature.
Yeah, good luck with that one. I don't know. How are you going to get an interesting smattering of recipes out of that theme?
I don't know. I have to wait till she moves on and clicks on something.
Earth?
She's
what are you
going to
get with wind?
Now she's answering.
What are you going to get with wind? Here's another kick I've been on. Did I tell you about my green tea kick?
Yes.
I swear to God, and maybe it's placebo effect, but I have been drinking copious amounts of decaffeinated green tea. Yep. It says that my internet connection is unstable. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, because it just gave me a warning. But
you
green
froze
tea
for a moment.
So green tea, I can't have the caffeine, but I'm doing the decaf, and you know, I'll make it like quadruple strength. At least, you know, so for every 8 ounces of, I do it cold with stevia. So every 8 ounces is actually the equivalent of potentially 5 cups of tea. And I swear to God, it gives you not really a jolt, not a jolt. It's not that. It's clarity.
Clarity. I have been doing the same thing for years. I always have green tea, iced tea in the refrigerator that I make myself, and I usually make an extract. So I'll take to about a quart of water. I use a ton of green tea and I make sort of an extract, and then I add water to it.
But
not
do you do the decaf?
It's decaf, but it still has caffeine in it.
But very minimal.
It's just a different type of caffeine.
All right.
Tea has a different type of caffeine than coffee.
Right, but decaffeinated is supposed to even, you know, be taking more of that. When you get a decaffeinated tea, they're extracting even as much of the caffeine as they possibly can out of the tea. And you might be left with you're left with like 1 or 2% of what was originally there. So, but anyway, I definitely feel like just a boost, like a just sort of an ability to concentrate after I've had one of these mega doses of green tea. So anybody out there but I would be careful, because I'm wondering if it could cause like stomach problems or if there's some kind of.
It's interesting. I can't have green tea on an empty stomach. I need to have something in my stomach Like I don't drink anything in the morning. I wake up and drink a lot of water, but I don't drink coffee. I've had one cup of coffee in my entire life, and it was decaffeinated and it was horrible. I really don't take any caffeine at all, but I do have caffeine from decaffeinated products. So I'll have a decaffeinated chai, or I'll have a decaffeinated tea or green tea. But it could also
be the tannins that are messing with your stomach.
Yeah, but I think there's more tannins actually in regular tea than green tea. So I think it is the green tea for some reason.
Okay.
I need to have something in my stomach before I have it. If I just have the plain green tea with nothing else, I get heartburn. I love it. Usually put a little bit of honey in it.
So any other, a little bit of honey. I do the stevia, but I just bought a whole giant bag.
I'm trying to get away from stevia.
Why? Tell me, it's causing cancer now?
It tastes too much like aspartame to me. It tastes artificial to me. It tastes
it's not. It's from a plant.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it's just my taste buds, but it reminds me too much of artificial sugar. I'd rather have a little bit of natural honey.
I know.
And I'm talking about like for a quart, I maybe have a tablespoon of honey, like just a teeny weeny.
Right. Just a little bit to take the bitterness away, but not to make it sweet.
No.
Okay.
No.
Anywho.
But it's refreshing.
It is very refreshing.
And we're kind of approaching running out of time.
Okay. So any plans to cook this weekend?
Not at the present moment.
Okay.
I'm kind of enjoying not cooking lately. I've been spending a lot of time dealing with my uncle. And
are you bringing stuff home from the restaurant?
Been bringing stuff home, although I've been just sort of made crab cakes a couple of days ago. We had those for a couple of days. Mario had a fajita bar on one of these outdoor parties that we delivered food for. So we've been eating, chicken and diced roasted vegetables in tortilla.
Okay.
Our own little quote unquote quesadilla / fajita. I'm kind of enjoying not cooking.
Well, I'm gonna be cooking this weekend. We're having a friend over, and I have in the freezer, which I had bought a couple of weeks ago and just decided not to use it. It'll be my first flat iron steak.
Oh.
So you were telling me it's kind of treat it like a flank.
Kind of.
Cut it thin. I'm going to marinate it overnight and then cut it. Then I'm going to put, I'm actually going to have to cook it in the oven. I don't have a grill right now. So, or pan sear it and then just slice it thin on the angle. And you say it's going to be great.
And it's going to be fabulous.
Okay. My first flat iron.
Don't you have a grill?
No, not right now. We're in a temporary living situation. So there's no grill here.
You didn't bring yours from home?
No, because mine was kicked to the curb. But anyway,
I'm sure it'll be delicious. And we're running out of time.
I'll let you know next week. I'm probably going to make it with a choice of wasabi cream or chimichurri.
Sounds delicious.
So you have one or the other. So I'll let you know next week on next episode of Food for Thought.
See you then.